Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I'm here with Candy Motzek. Let me tell you a little bit about Candy. Candy is an engineer who moved into corporate real estate. She started out in finance and then moved to office manager, property and facilities manager, director. She oversaw a team who managed a large portfolio of real estate, and the team was geographically dispersed and then moved to a capital planning director. And then it was time for a change where Candy became a coach. So Candy is now a coach for high achievers who are stressed out, and she also coaches and mentors coaches as well. So that's a little bit about Candy, but we're going to learn some more. Candy, welcome to the Me Time Midlife Podcast for the first time.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me. And I just have to say, I really appreciate you inviting me to be a guest on your podcast. I'm honored.
Absolutely. Well, Candy and I are both board members or chairs or whatever you call it for the ICF Vancouver chapter. So if you don't know what ICF is, it's the International Coach Federation, and there's different chapters all over the world. And Candy and I work together on the Vancouver chapter. So that's how we know each other, and that's how we connected. And I wanted to have her on the podcast. So I'm so glad that you're here. And we're going to talk about, you know, morning routines, which is very, very important. It's something I talk about as well. But before we get into it, let me start with a question I ask every guest, first time guest, which is, what do you enjoy doing during your me time?
So much. One of the things that I started when I was 40 was dancing, formal dance. So I do ballet, I've done flamenco, hip hop, tap, all kinds of dance. And I just love it. The other thing that I do, I'm super close with my family, and we have a cabin on the ocean. We spend quite a bit of time up there, especially in the nicer weather. And just this getting back to nature, being really grounded and connected with nature, and sitting around in the fresh air, reading the books and all of those things is just a wonderful way to spend some time.
Yes, absolutely. Got to get out in nature and the dancing. I was surprised to hear about the dancing, but that sounds like fun. What do you enjoy about the dancing?
You know, there's something about, you have to be totally focused on your body while you're doing it. And it's quite complex. So you have to think of, what am I doing with my left foot, my right foot? Am I on beat? Is my head going the right direction? And so there's something about this complexity and coordination and being totally focused in the moment that is really engaging. And then when the music turns on, there's just something that happens that you just sort of forget about all your weird little troubles, and you can just float in that moment. So yeah.
Flow, right?
Yes, exactly.
And you especially like flamenco dancing, is that right?
I do. I haven't danced flamenco for a while, but oh, it's so much fun.
So it's the most fun of all the different kinds of dance that you enjoy.
Yeah. Who can say you can stamp your feet and, you know, make a lot of noise and say olé all the time and clap really loud, right? Right.
Oh yeah. That does sound like fun. So let's start with this. So you work with burnt out, stressed out professionals, right? High achievers.
Yes.
There's got to be a story behind that.
Yeah. And I think that most people who move to a place of mentoring or coaching or teaching, it's because they've been there themselves. And so it wasn't that many years ago that I was a real stressed out high achiever. I had a great career on the outside. I had the title, I had the salary, I had all the good things. And then on the inside, I was stressed. You know that saying about just hanging on with your fingernails? That was me. And it was me for a really, really long time. And so eventually I burned out completely. And I fought that because being a high achiever, you just keep pushing until I just needed to make a change. And so, you know, that was part of that beginning journey to becoming a coach.
Yeah. It's interesting how the metaphor you use is the fingernails, just holding on by your fingernails. The one that relates for me is kind of the treading water kind of thing, just trying to keep your head above water, you know, and that feeling. But I think many of us have been there, especially, you know, high achieving people. And now you have that direct experience and you can work with people as well. You work with men and women?
I do. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And teams or individuals, groups?
Individuals. Okay. I find that most people, it starts with an individual journey. Mm-hmm. They need to come back to center for themselves and kind of reclaim who they are. Mm. So I really focus on the individual.
Yeah, great. So let's talk about a morning routine, because that's kind of how you came to it. You realized, right, that you needed a morning routine. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Okay. So when I was in the midst of burnout, my doctor told me for about 6 months that I should be taking some time off of work. And I just fought that, just fought it. I didn't like the idea of taking time off. I felt that I was quitting, but eventually it needed to happen. When I started with my time off, all of a sudden I had this space in my day that I never had before. And I had been resisting the idea of doing a morning routine, getting more in touch with myself, a little bit of meditation, some journaling, just some self-inquiry and really understanding what were my values, like what was important to me. And that was how I started my morning routine. Mm-hmm. It's since morphed into just a much more free form thing, but it was one of the key pieces that brought me back to putting my feet on the ground and starting to just get back in glimpses about who was I? What was I doing with my life? And for me, it was just that lifeline that made all the difference. And so that's why I'm super passionate about a morning routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure it's something that you encourage your clients to do as well.
All the time. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you actually do have a morning routine for busy people, right? I'd like for you to share that if you could with us.
Oh, okay.
If you don't mind.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, that would be great. So I created this 10-minute morning routine. I call it the 0 to 4 morning routine. And I created it because so many of my clients and so many people that I know are just tired and they're too busy. And they look at a morning routine and they say, oh, I don't have time for that. I'm already so tired. How could I ever fit in one more thing? But I figure everybody can do 10 minutes. And 10 minutes can make a massive difference in how you feel, especially when you start your day on the right foot and you start to create this habit of spending a little bit of time closely with yourself in a structured way. And the ripple effect of what the rest of your day is like is really amazing. Mm-hmm. So that's why I created it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So 0 to 4 in 10 minutes. Do you want to share those steps or?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Great. I'll give you the quick version of it. So it's called 0 to 4 because I couldn't think of another fancy name for it. And each number has a meaning. So you start your day with 0 distractions. Instead of picking up your phone and looking at Facebook or Instagram or your email or your messages, you don't pick up your phone. 0 distractions, 0 tech. So that's how you start. And then the 1 stands for 1 big glass of water. Every morning when we wake up, we're dehydrated. One of the best things that we can do is have a big glass of water, helps our body, refreshes our mind, and it really gets us on the right foot for a new day. The 2 stands for gratitude. So while you're drinking that water, you think of 2 simple things that you are truly grateful for. They can be immediate things like the fact that you've got fresh water to drink, something like maybe the glass that you've chosen to drink out of is your favorite color, or that you have wonderful carpet on the floor that's soft on your feet. So thinking of two things that you're grateful for while you're drinking the water. Then we move on to number three, and three stands for 3 minutes of meditation. It's all you need just to get a start. And then you wrap up your 10 minutes with the number four. And four means 4 minutes of movement. That can be put on your favorite song and just dance away, or swing your arms, or do some sun salutations, but just move your body so you get your blood moving. And so you can do this 0 to 4 in 10 minutes flat. And that's one of the things that I like about it. It's easy, it's simple to remember, and you get immediate results.
You're so right, Candy. I really love this. I mean, you not only get immediate results and you get grounded for the day, but like you said earlier, I mean, it really extends to the rest of your day. You know, it puts things in focus. You start off with gratitude. You start off with some movement, some water. You don't pick up your phone or open your laptop right away in the morning and check your email, and then your cortisol levels shoot up, and then, you know, you're already stressed to start the day, and then that's not a great way to start the day, you know? So I really love this. And it's so, I mean, 10 minutes, you're right. I mean, if you really want to create a morning routine for yourself, this is a great way to do it. And it's easy, just like you said. And I can really see how this can become a habit, because I like how you said, you know, drinking the glass of water, and at the same time, you can describe two things that you're grateful for. And they don't have to be these big, grand things. They can be small things. I love it. I think it's great. And also moving your body for 4 minutes, I think is great. The, you know, the dancing, of course. Also, I would add in there probably some stretching would be really nice, right? Just getting out of bed and, you know, kind of loosening up a little bit, especially if you have a job where you sit a lot, or you have to get in the car and drive to work, and then you sit at work and then you drive home. You know, lots of sitting. So stretching would be great for moving your body too. So yeah, love this. Love it.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the zero distractions in the morning. So no tech, no email. First of all, well, I mentioned one of the reasons why I think this is important, but why do you think it's important? And why is this the very first thing that you have in this morning routine?
Yeah, so I believe that when your eyes open first thing in the morning, how you start your day is sort of sets the tone for your day. When you grab your phone first thing and start scrolling, you quickly go from being able to be proactive about how you feel and what you're doing to being reactive. We know that more time on our phone, more time on any electronics, leads to an increase in anxiety. It also means that we start to spend a lot more time comparing ourselves. And I would suggest we usually compare ourselves unfavorably to other people. So why do you want to start your day on the wrong foot? That's really why I think zero distractions is the, you know, the way to go. Mm-hmm. Let's start in control, being centered and true to ourselves. We've got our own wisdom. And when we start with the technology, we can't even listen to what our own wisdom is. We're looking outward for wisdom instead of inward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. And, you know, what I do as a wellness coach is I help my clients create healthy habits and behaviors. So one of the things that one of my philosophies is you want to try to create an environment where you make the right behaviors easier and the wrong behaviors harder. So I say that because, you know, if you want to carry out this morning routine, it'd be helpful if you didn't have your phone next to your bed right when you wake up, right? Or your laptop or something like that, where it's so easy to just grab it subconsciously and then start to scroll or whatever you do. So, you know, keeping those things away from you so they're not easy to grab. And also the tall glass of water, you know, having that glass out ready for you, or already having a glass full of water in your fridge, might make it easier to make that happen. What do you think about those kind of little tricks to get this going for people?
Oh, I totally agree. And I love this whole thing to do with habits. And so when I'm thinking about this no phone, because usually that's the thing that we grab the first. Mm-hmm. When I think of the no phone, we know that to build a habit, we want it to be obvious, we want it to be attractive, we want it to be easy, and we want it to be satisfying. Mm. And the phone satisfies all of those criteria to build a habit. They designed that phone with that in mind, right? Yeah. They want it to be quick. It's right by your bedside. It's right there. You reach for it even before you thought about it. It's attractive. It's got a pretty screen. It's got pretty colors. It's easy to use. It fits in your hand in an instant and responds in an instant. And it's satisfying. You get to see pretty pictures and flashy colors and learn the gossip in an instant. So when you're thinking about habits and changing that habit of grabbing your phone first thing, you get to do the opposite. Mm-hmm. You get to put it away. Put your phone in your purse and zip your purse up in another room so that you actually would have to make effort to go and get that phone.
Right.
You can even do this. You might think that this is funny, but I don't want to spend too much time on my phone because I can get lost in that social media feed. Mm-hmm. What I do is I put my screen on grayscale. Mm. And as soon as you do that, it just loses some of that edge of charm. So you can even do that to support yourself in shifting that habit. Mm-hmm. But I totally agree. Set yourself up with these habits that reinforce themselves. And the other piece about your idea about doing the big glass of water, pouring it the night before, I would say even put a slice of lemon or orange in there and put that water in your most beautiful glass, something that is a pleasure to drink out of instead of that clunky old plastic mug that you might use. Right. Make it an experience. And that again will help to reinforce that habit.
Yeah. And it'll be things that you look forward to doing. Right.
Exactly.
I mean, you feel so good after this routine here, right? After you've moved your body, after you have a glass of water, you know, it's great. After you've thought about things you're grateful for. So great. I love these tips. Okay. So let's talk about the third step here, which is to be quiet and meditate for 3 minutes. Now we hear about, you know, meditation practice, mindfulness practice. You got to meditate for 20 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours a day to really make a difference. You're saying here 3 minutes to be quiet and to meditate. What does that look like? And is 3 minutes long enough?
So the answer is 3 minutes is definitely long enough. They even say that 60 seconds of being still and quiet will have a marked effect on how you feel. Of course, it would be wonderful to do a 20-minute or half an hour meditation practice every day. But this 0-4 routine was created because people feel strapped for time and they want to be healthier. So it supports them in getting healthier now. 3 minutes works. What I love to do is a couple of different things. Either a guided meditation. I have a few of those linked on my website. But also, you can just do something as simple as box breathing or bamboo breathing. I don't know if you've shared that with your audience before.
No. I know box breathing, but bamboo breathing, I'm not sure of. So why don't you talk about both?
They're interchangeable. So it's two different terms for the same topic. And if you just sit quietly with your eyes closed and do box breathing for a couple of minutes, you're going to find that your stress level drops. You're so much clearer in your head. You feel so much more settled and calm. And so instead of having to maybe listen to another episode, just that quick little recap about what it is. You sit quietly. You close your eyes. You inhale for the count of four. You hold your breath at the top of the breath for the count of four. Then you exhale slowly for the count of four. And hold your breath at the bottom of the breath for the count of four. So it's this 4-4-4-4. You do that for 3 or 4 cycles and you're going to physically notice a difference right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Actually, I practiced just before I came on here.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I do something, a little similar, but without the hold, a take five. So that's 5 breaths in, 5 breaths out. 5 second breath in, 5 second breath out, 5 times. It's easy to remember as well.
Yeah.
The box breathing, with the holds at the top and at the exhale. Great. I love that. Okay. So let's talk about this whole thing, 10 minutes. Okay. First of all, how long did it take you to develop this routine for yourself? Okay. And how long can people, how long will it take for people to expect to create a habit of this routine? And, you know, for those that are thinking 10 minutes, you know, like, is this really going to do anything? Am I going to find any value in this? Speak to that a little bit as well.
Okay. So the idea of how long does it take to create a habit? Let's start there. For me, a habit takes time. I have to be intentional about it, but I find that 10 minutes at the beginning of my day, I could find. Now I'm remembering when I was in that space where, you know, I would wake up and my feet would hit the ground, my phone was in my hand, and I was running before I even started. But even now, 10 minutes is more than enough to get a start. How long does it take to create that habit? There's a lot of different studies about this. Some people say 30 days, some people say 15 days. I like to treat this like a bit of a science experiment. I think it would be awesome if you tried it for 7 days. Mm. Doesn't even have to be 7 consecutive days. Mm. You know, we get into this thing where we have to have it perfect. Mm-hmm. So if you do 3 days and then you forget on the 4th day, maybe it's Sunday and you're tired or whatever, then don't worry. Pick up again on Monday, pick up again on that next day. Try it for 7 days and see how you feel. For me, that's the easiest way for people to see if it works for them. Mm-hmm. I know that for me, there was an immediate change in how I felt. And after that 7 days, that was enough for me to go, huh, well, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. I think I should try this a little bit more. Well, now that's it. I got to do these things. This is part of the way I start my day. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you exactly how many days it took for it to be a habit, but it becomes a sort of self-perpetuating virtuous cycle when you feel better and you walk out the door and you feel calmer and more centered as you start your day. Then, you know, you might pat your dog on their head and kiss their head on the way out the door and smile at somebody on your way to work, instead of feeling like you've got a little gray cloud going over top of your head and you're feeling kind of grumpy. Who knows how that changes how you feel throughout the rest of your day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would add too that it actually makes us more productive if we're grounded and calm and we're not waking up and immediately multitasking. Right? I got to answer this email. I got to get my breakfast ready. I got to pack my lunch. I got to figure out what I'm going to wear today. I got to get my briefcase together. I got to get out the door. I got to walk the dog. I got to feed the dog, right? There's like all of that. It's so easy to just, you know, get up. And I've written a blog about this where it's like, if you're at a stoplight and you're at a complete stop and the light is red, the signal is red and it turns green, you don't just punch it, right? You don't just slam on the gas and go. No, you slowly, you ease into it. And, you know, when I talk about an evening routine, the same is true, right? We don't just slam the brakes and close the laptop and head right to bed. We want to slowly start to wind down and gradually come to a stop like we would as we're approaching a stop sign or a stoplight. And so I think if we can understand that, you know, by grounding yourself in the morning, by doing a little bit of self-care, right? Some of this is me time, definitely. You're actually going to be more productive. You're not going to make as many mistakes as at work. You're going to be in a better mood. Everything's just going to be more enjoyable. And you're going to look back and be like, and all it was this 10-minute habit that I've started to do in the morning. And it is so worth it. And I think it does take a couple of times of doing it to actually understand the benefits in that way.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, as you were describing that rushed morning, I could feel my tension rising already. I'm like getting breathless worrying about it.
Right, exactly.
I love this saying, and I can't remember where I heard it, so I can't attribute it to the right person. But it says, when emotions are high, intelligence is low. Mm-hmm. You know, so when we're stressed, then our intelligence is lower than it could be. And I think that's one of the things that you're talking about here in being productive, is let's make sure that we're making the best decisions that we're capable of. So let's set that ground to create that space for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we also need to get in the habit of, you know, I mean, with technology and everything, and just this attention age, right, where everything is vying for our attention. We have come to develop this bad habit of multitasking, of having too many things going on at once. And studies have shown that we're just not as productive and efficient. And our brain has to switch from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And we wonder why it's so hard to focus, you know, or to slow our minds down. So really, you know, starting your morning like this, with the 0 to 4 in 10 minutes, actually, I think it's a good practice in that too, of learning how to just do one thing at a time, you know, and focusing, because that's how I believe we should work.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, from an evolutionary standpoint, our brains are not multitaskers. I think I've read some of the studies on that as well, that says we don't actually multitask. We're switching tasks very, very quickly.
Right.
And so because we're not multitaskers biologically, then when we try to do it, it adds this extra stress to our life. And like you said, we're way less productive. Mm-hmm. And the impact of that is that at the end of the day, we feel like we've gotten nothing done. So we might have been working for all this time, whatever the length of your workday might be. And at the end of the day, you've actually accomplished far less than you were capable of. And that feeds that stress cycle again. I'm not getting enough done. I better rush. I better get up earlier in the morning and work more.
Right.
It's very unhealthy.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. You got it. So Candy, any final thoughts about the morning routine that we haven't hit on that you want to make sure you talk about?
I think the last piece is just to, I know you've mentioned this already, but we need a little bit of self-compassion about this too. Mm-hmm. When we're learning a new healthy way of living, we're making a choice in how we want to be, a little bit of self-care. We have to have compassion for ourselves, that we're not going to start this and be masterful in 5 days. We're going to start as beginners. And then with practice, we're going to become better and better and better before we can become masterful. And just to give ourselves a little bit of a break, like, you know, say you decide to do a morning routine and you know, do great for 3 days and then you forget for 2 days. Well, that's okay. Just say, oh, this is what happens when I'm learning something new. I can start again and learn again and keep at it. So it's this being a little bit compassionate with yourself, and instead of giving up on yourself so quickly, giving yourself the time to become masterful in how you take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you have the rest of your life to master this routine, right?
Yeah.
yeah, that's exactly the wisdom I share with my clients when they, you know, they said they're not going to eat any ice cream over the weekend, and they do, you know, it's like, it's okay. You know, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. You just get back up and you try again, and you have your entire life to learn this stuff. You know, it's not like you have to do it tomorrow, but it really does take time to develop mastery. And it's important, I think, too, to think about the other areas of your life where you have developed mastery, especially, you know, for women in midlife, as, you know, you think about, look back on your life and all your accomplishments and the things that took a lot of time and that you do really well now, you weren't so good in the beginning. You know, so the same is true with this. So that's a great way to end this on, Candy. So do you have a little sheet or something to share with the audience when it comes to this morning routine? How can they remember to do it, or what these things are if they weren't writing them down?
Okay. So yes, I've got a little PDF that people can download, and it just covers this 0 to 4 in 10-minute morning routine, just a very high level overview, and as well, a bit of a checklist. So if you're wanting to build that habit, just even having a checklist where you tick off all the days in the row that you've done it can just help reinforce creating this new habit. And I am expecting that it will be in the show notes, Kim. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I'll put it right there. I'll also put your website, candymotzek.com.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming on here, Candy. It was great to have you. And thanks for sharing this with our listeners.
Thank you.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it. The best way is to simply tell your midlife friends about it. It also helps the show's visibility if you rate and review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or simply directly in your Apple Podcasts app if you listen to the show that way. And if you want more Me Time in your life and continue the conversations we have on the show with other women on a similar journey, consider joining our Me Time Midlife community on Facebook. Simply search for Me Time Midlife Community in your Facebook search bar, or go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.